call this meeting to order. It's 8:35. I have a statement to read prior to starting. So good morning. Welcome to the virtual CMT May 15th, 2020 meeting of the Board of Trustees of the City of Palm Coast Volunteer Firefighters Retirement System. Pursuant to the Governor's Executive Order number 2069, suspending all Florida statutes that require a quorum to be present in person at local government public meetings or require a local government body to meet at a specific public place, the Board of Trustees may conduct meetings without having a quorum of its members present physically or at any specific location and utilizing communications media technology such as telephonic or video conferencing as provided by Section 125.4(5)(b)(2) Florida statutes. Executive Order 2069 was extended by Executive Order 2112 to take effect on May 4th, 2020. The mayor, pursuant to the authority granted by the City Charter, Section 4, City Council 4, declared a public emergency on March 15, 2020 in response to COVID-19. Furthermore, pursuant to those powers in Governor's Executive Order number 2069 and 2112, the mayor has suspended all city requirements that require a physical quorum to be present to conduct this meeting and authorized that this meeting may be conducted by communications media technology under the city's state of emergency proclamation for virtual meetings executed on April 3rd, 2020. The city manager, pursuant to the authority granted him by the city's initial state of emergency for COVID-19, has closed City Hall to the public. Therefore, no members of the public will be allowed in the community wing of the City Hall during this meeting. Notice was posted on the city's website at least 5 days ago that this meeting is to be held by communication media technology and not at a physical location. The notice provided that those members of the public needing reasonable accommodations to participate in the meeting could contact the city clerk for assistance by noon on Thursday, May 14th, 2020. Access to this meeting is being provided by calling 386-223-1690. Should you need technical assistance, please call 386-986-2391. Today is May 15th, 2020. It is now 8:37 a.m. Please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all. Kate, could you do a roll call?
Chairman Wilson.
Okay.
Vice Chair DeVita.
I hear you.
I don't know if you can hear me. Chairman Wilson.
Here.
Vice Chair DeVita.
Here.
Board Member Brazzano? Okay. Board Member Esposito? And Board Member Schroeder?
Here.
Board Member Esposito, are you there?
Not sure. He may be by phone, but I see an iPhone. I just don't know who it is. So.
Okay.
Right. So, in addition to our board members that are present, we have on the call our attorney, David Robinson, our finance representatives, Helena and Ginger. We also have our League of Cities, Jeremy Langley, representative, and Doug Lowe's in the actuary. So, first item on the agenda, minutes of the February 14th, 2020 Volunteer Firefighting Pension Board. I seek a motion to approve these minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Oh, I need a roll call vote.
Just part of the rules of this new stuff. Vice Chair DeVita? Yes or no? Part of the new structure of having these virtual meetings is that I need to do a roll call vote after for every motion. So, Vice Chair DeVita?
Here.
Do you approve the minutes?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Board Member Brezano?
Yes.
Board Member Esposito? I don't think he's there. Board Member Schroeder?
Yes.
Chairman Wilson?
Yes. All right, next item on the agenda, agenda item number F, that's financial status of plan accounts.
Good morning. We started the quarter ending December 31st with a balance of $4,774,134. We had investment loss this quarter of $725,258. Pension distributions for the quarter were $34,752. We had administrative expenses, $18,017. And we had share plan distributions this quarter of $182,794. Giving us a balance at the end of March with $3,813,311. There are four additional invoices that will require your approval. There are two there for Sugarman and Susskind, one for Foster and Foster, and one for FMIT, which is the insurance, the fiduciary liability insurance.
Thank you. We seek a motion to approve the four invoices listed.
So moved.
Second.
Can I get a roll call?
Vice Chair DeVita?
Approved. I agree.
Board Member Brezano?
Yes.
Board Member Schroeder?
Yes.
Chairman Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Is that it for you, Ginger? Helena, do you have anything to add, or?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, now we'll move on to item G, which is the actuarial cost study. So, Doug, you're up.
Okay, good morning. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to try and share my screen here. Okay, was I successful? It should say May 7th, 2020 at the top of our letterhead?
Yes.
Okay, this is the first analysis we were asked to present, looking at an increase in the multiplier for future retirees. That, as I think everybody knows, benefits right now accrue at $65 for each year of service. What that means in practical terms is, let's say somebody retires with 10 years of service, then at retirement they would get a monthly benefit of $650. It would be 65 times 10. And this study looks at increasing that 65 accrual rate to either 70 or 75. So I flipped over to the second page in the schedule to show you what that means to liabilities and funding. The first row here is the current scenario under the $65. That number I highlighted there, that 1.581 million in parentheses, that means there's a credit. The plan is overfunded, and so the net pension liability is negative, just over 1.5 million. The cost from all sources for the plan is that current $86,000. That's the normal cost minimum. But as we all know, the city has no contribution requirement because there is an offset from the state that's permitted of $200,000. So that's the baseline setting the table here. If we improve to $70 instead of $65, the net pension liability is a little less negative. Instead of 1.58 million, it's 1.52. So The normal cost minimum does increase, of course. We need more money to come in each year from all sources. However, that $92,863, which is the new normal cost requirement, as you can see clearly, is more than covered by the state contribution of $200,000. And then, likewise, if we look at $75, same discussion, the net pension liability is slightly less negative, meaning less of a credit to the city. The requirement for funding is $99,000 a year, but the $200,000 state money covers everything. So that is it for that study. Of course, if the membership and the city want to go forward with this, then I think there'd have to be some negotiations and an ordinance amendment. But these are the actuarial numbers you can move forward with.
Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Doug, this is Bob Schroeder. The normal cost minimum, that number, is that derived in part by the in our investment return?
No, I mean, it's indirectly related to your assumption of 7%. But that normal cost, your plan is so overfunded that your actual investment performance will not impact the normal cost.
Thank you.
Doug, just a question.
Yes.
Does the calculation assume an increase in participation rate because we are proposing an increase in the earnings?
No, and that is a good question. This is all based on the October 1st, 2019 valuation. 23 active members on that date. If the participation goes up, let's say you have a wave of new participants and you're looking at, say, 40 members instead of 23, that normal cost will go up.
Tim, a question for you. Was the intent of this to have more participants in the plan?
Yes.
Was this to attract volunteers?
Yes.
Okay, so we'd have to take into consideration the actual effect on the numbers. If the intended purpose to increase participation does occur, what would that do for that distribution?
And I think on this end, it's increased participation as well as improving retention. Obviously, we want people to stay a little longer, but we understand that if they get a job, but I think that you're right. I think we're going to have to look at, one, if we recruit more, and two is if...
So I think before we can, make decisions on whether we would want to pursue this or not, we'd have to have... estimates that would include those assumptions.
I would agree. Those are good points. Remember, I'm going to be presenting an experience study either in August or November, probably August.
Okay.
And we'll be looking at all of the assumptions, including lowering the investment assumption, which will help provide a buffer in the future, and also looking at turnover. Turnover has been very high, and normally I would say, well, let's just change the assumption to reflect that, which would put the plan in an even greater funded status. However, I agree, if we're looking at improving benefits for the goal of retention, then might want to go easy on changing the turnover assumption. No matter what, the plan's going to be in an overfunded status. But we want to make sure that we have enough buffer in the future to absorb a lot of different things.
Yes.
Any other questions on this item? No? Doug, you want to go into the next one?
Are there any other questions on this study?
I think that's it if you want to move forward to the next one.
Okay. Let me know. I'm going to click a tab here to go to the other document. Did that work?
Yep.
Say May 14th at the top?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, great. This is, it's not a benefit improvement per se. It's looking at a change in how the state monies are allocated between the city and the membership share plan. So it looks kind of busy on this page, I understand, but it's actually pretty straightforward. And this is something that we had that came from a plan that was also in an overfunded status with the share plan. So what I'm going to highlight here is this current scenario. If you look at the far right hand column, it says total. There was $247,000 received in state monies last year. And that's the Chapter 175 premium tax. And as we know, the city gets $200,000 as a credit. Well, that $200,000 is not needed to fund the plan. Right now, as we just saw a few minutes ago, the cost of the plan is really $86,000 a year. That's the normal cost. So of the $247,000 estate money, we first cover the normal cost, the $86,000 I'm highlighting, and the remainder, which is just $200,000 minus the $86,000, goes to assets. That's $113,770 remains in assets. Another way to look at that is it's like a credit to the unfunded liability. It's just every year that $200,000 in state money is improving the funded status of the plan. Everything else then goes to the share plan right there. So last year, the share plan got $47,000. So the first proposal is looking at this. The normal cost minimum is still $86,000. We'll take $86,000 from the state money and cover it, but put nothing else in asset. See that zero excess to assets? So under that scenario, we would just take everything else and put it to the share plan. And so the share plan would get a credit of $161,000. Under proposed B, I wanted to show you how this works. Let's say something caused the plan to become more expensive. A benefit enhancement, investment loss, any loss, change in assumption, let's say we lowered to 6.5. Anything that caused the plan to be more expensive, let's say hypothetically that's $100,000 a year instead of 86. Then we would take $100,000 from state money, cover it. The remaining would go to the share plan, but in that case, the share plan would get less money because more of the state money went to cover the cost of the plan. So, like I said, this is not a benefit enhancement per se. This is simply a different use of state monies. Going forward, if the city and membership agree to this, then I think you'd need a new consent agreement to enact this. So, any questions?
No questions?
Doug, this is Helena again. If we were to implement the other scenario, which is intended to grow the plan, right, and retain employees, then these numbers would change, correct?
They would. That's exactly why I wanted to put proposed B under there, to show that if anything caused the plan to become more expensive, then we would automatically divert state money to cover that and put less to the share plan.
So essentially, and, it's going to fluctuate with the need.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part. It sounded like a bird jumped in there.
So essentially, it's going to fluctuate with the need of the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. If that's the desire. Clearly, right now, what's happening is, city has no funding, and the funded status is being beefed up every year. If all the parties agree for whatever reason that, you know, for retention, let's say, it's like, well, let's look at $70 and let's look at more to the share plan, then you could divert the excess state monies over to the share plan. But it would automatically adjust every year. If the cost of the plan goes up, less goes to the share. If the cost of the plan goes down, more goes to the share.
But in this case, none of it would be going to savings.
Yes. Right now, the savings, so to speak, is that excess to assets. That is automatically occurring at this point. Under proposed A or B, you're right. There would be no excess going into assets or savings.
And if I'm correct, we have $300,000 reserve?
You do. That was left over. I just clicked over to the valuation. $301,000 is currently in reserve.
So we could always increase that number as part of it if needed. But currently $300,000 is.
Yeah. Yes. If negotiated and agreed. Yep. From all parties.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions on this item? Benny, you okay?
I'm okay. I'm just with all the events that have been going on with this coronavirus and everything. What would happen if the state stopped funding us?
Meaning the $247,000 a year was just shut off?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, in that case, you see that $86,000 right there?
Uh-huh.
Would be payable from the city under that scenario. Nothing goes to the share plan. Nothing goes to assets. The city would need to come up with $86,000 a year. They're sitting on $301,000, so that would last less than 4 years. And then from that forward, the city would have a requirement.
Okay.
Highly speculative, but
we've seen so many things change within the last 20 years of our existence here and we don't know what's happening soon. I'm just trying to be cautious, I guess. I don't know.
These are good points. These are very good discussions.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that if that were the case, there would be other difficult conversations that take place. We exhaust the program to what's funded, and, you know, then we have other discussions on that, on what's going to happen with the future of the plan. So now – go ahead, I'm sorry. All right. Jeremy, I know you're not an actuary, but this seems like a good time for you to give us the bad news, because there's a lot of that on your report.
It was it was a tough quarter, as everybody is well aware. If you've turned on the news at all, And the whole reason we're sitting here on our computers today has had a large impact on the financial markets. And unfortunately, no one was spared. We actually just literally got in your report, so you all wouldn't even have it available. But as far as the investments for the quarter, they were down over 15% this quarter, which puts us down over 11 for the fiscal year. So it is it's definitely been very difficult. The good news, always trying to find a silver lining, is it doesn't necessarily have a huge impact on you all. Well, honestly, as Doug was just talking about, it really doesn't have an impact on you all. You're a little more somewhat immune to investment returns than most plans, since the state chapter money covers everything anyway. That said, we'll keep plugging along. We're not making a lot of changes to the portfolio. We still think the long-term strategy of the way it's constructed is the best way to move forward. It's just one of those life instances where, you know, you couldn't have really been prepared for this. For instance, we had some exposure to a decent amount of exposure to oil and energy markets. You know, they crashed overnight, and not even as much. I mean, they definitely were hit from this virus, but also Russia and the Middle East getting into an oil war right in the middle of this. You know, those two things happening all at one time, you could never predict that that was going to happen at once. So some exposure like that really hurt our plan. Obviously, anything related to travel stocks, travel holdings, were big hits to the plan this quarter. So it's one of those. It's tough sledding, but we'll just kind of continue forward. Again, we're not making any large changes. I think the theory with the investment managers and speaking with our consultant is that this is more of a case where you try to put your head down. You try not to get caught in the moment and say, oh, you know, scramble. What do we do now? You trust the long-term strategy, which is, you know, we're expecting this plan to pay out for decades to come. So we invest with that in mind, and we still think, you know, the expectation is life at some point will return to hopefully something similar, if not exactly similar to what we knew just a few months ago, and the investment strategy will hold out. Now, obviously, if we see, you know, okay, life's not going to look the same even a year from now or 2 years from now, our managers, of course, will be making changes as they deem fit. But at this time, they're still looking at it as a short-term time that we're dealing with, and that the long-term strategy is kind of still where we're going to be in there with. I don't know. Any questions? I know we just got the report, so you all don't have it. So I don't, you know, we can't get into any real nitty gritty details in this moment, but do y'all have any questions about anything in general or something you want me to touch on more?
I recall we had a company or a fund on the watch list. Are they still there? Or are they dropped off?
It wasn't so much that they were on the watch list. It was a holding from last quarter. It was, as soon as you said it was not terminated, it was a pest control company that had a lawsuit. And actually, I should know more. I've got a call next week where I'm going to get a bunch of updates on everything. And so I haven't gotten yet, so I don't know where we were. So that was a holding. You know, we had a good, very good quarter last quarter, but that was a holding that hiccuped our small cap fund. And so it's not so much that they were on a watch list. Again, we were just monitoring to see if that was a position they were going to actually just completely get out of, or if that was actually something where they saw an opportunity, if the lawsuits played out in a favorable way, where they may even actually add to their holdings there. But unfortunately, we're about a week away from me getting that answer.
Okay. Any other questions for Jeremy? No? Okay. All right, so our next item on the agenda is item H, which is our legal review. Dave, it's your time to shine. We can't hear you. Nope. We can see your mouth moving, though. That's fun. We can try to figure this out.
He should unplug the earphones, perhaps.
Tricked me. I thought it was Dave.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Okay, so the first item on our report is the finalization of the Ice-Miller memorandum. I believe that everyone received a copy of the final Ice-Miller memorandum.
Yes.
And so if we go looking back, this was this started back in about, I believe, February of 2019. And I had drafted a proposed amendment to the ordinance that would change the way in which forfeitures are distributed, and that change would redistribute forfeitures not only to current members but to retirees as well in the form of a 13th check. A few meetings after that, Charlie drafted up some questions to pose to Ice-Miller about whether or not that that sort of amendment would be permissible under the private letter ruling that we received. And then at the November meeting, the board voted to approve sending the amendment and Charlie's questions to Ice-Miller. So we did, and we have the final report from Ice-Miller, and essentially they've given a clean advisory opinion on all of the questions and on the amendment itself, that this would be within the trustees' authority, and that in their opinion, modifying the ordinance to allow for a broader distribution of the forfeitures would not in any way violate or jeopardize the private letter ruling that we received. So that's the essentially the Ice-Miller's opinion on the ordinance and on the questions. Does anyone have any questions on Ice-Miller's opinion?
I do not.
No questions?
Nope.
Okay. So we could either decide to proceed farther with putting this amendment into the form of an ordinance amendment and forwarding it to the city for consideration, or we can just decide, well, we received Ice-Miller's opinion. We know that we can do it if we want to, but we don't necessarily want to go forward at this time. There's no action that's required. If the board wishes to go forward with it, then you can vote for me to put it in final form of an amendment and forward it to the city.
In my opinion, we should kind of hold off on this. I think that we're in a position right now with the problems that are ongoing here in the country that we should be somewhat conservative about making changes. It's just simply my opinion. Thank you.
I might have to echo what he said. I think that right now, making really any financial decisions, one, before we see how things are going to pan out, and two, is before we get Doug's report back at our next meeting, I think we can utilize that and then probably make one presentation. If there's going to be changes, we can discuss those at the next couple meetings, and then if there's going to be an ordinance change or anything of that nature that we're going to present to the city, then we do it at that time as one package. So I think my opinion is we table this as well, just for right now.
I agree.
I agree as well.
Okay. Would you like to, Tim, call for a motion to table?
I'd like to call for a motion to table the Ice Miller report at this time. Can we get a roll call vote, Kate?
Sure.
A motion was made by Vinny, by the way.
Vinny? Mm-hmm. And who was the second? I'm sorry.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Board Member Brezano?
Yes.
Board Member DeVita?
Yes.
Board Member Schroeder?
Yes.
Chairman Wilsey?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, next item for you, Dave.
Just a quick question. Is Charlie logged into the meeting?
We are unsure. We don't see him, but we have one phone person who phoned in, and they haven't said anything, so we're unsure who that is. But
okay, but before we go forward, is there some way that we can find out if it's Charlie? Maybe give Charlie a call on his cell phone or something. The reason I ask is if it is Charlie who's present, of course, a trustee who's present is required to vote on every motion, just to make sure that we're in compliance with all the laws. If it's Charlie, I want to make sure that his vote is being recorded.
The person who called in, is this Charlie? They're currently muted. Is it a call? Did they zoom in? They did. Okay. And we have no call in, right?
Is there like a phone number attached to that, Doug? Oh.
So maybe we can reach out to Charlie. Can the person on the iPhone maybe start the video? At least we can see.
Sorry.
How are you? Mendon, what's the matter? Oh, Charlie, I'm sorry. Okay. Out of the loop. Okay. Yeah, well, we're on this virtual meeting, and somebody's on with an iPhone, and we thought maybe it was you. But if you have a broken hip, then I don't think it's you. I will let you go back and rest, and we'll check in on you later. Is there anything you need, Charlie?
Okay, the other person on the call is not Charlie. Apparently, Charlie has broken his hip.
No, I think everything's going okay. I mean, by the next meeting, it looks like there will be a number of things to talk about. So hopefully you'll be on the mend by then, and you can come. Okay. All right, Charlie. Thanks so much for answering the phone. I appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. So.
It's not him.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tim and Kate, for clarifying that. So just, Kate, then, if you can make sure that Charlie is listed as absent, and then that we don't have a problem with his vote not being registered.
I will.
Okay, great. There are a couple of other questions. One, just for now, as of now, we still have the financial disclosure forms that are due. So before the next meeting, so please remember to file your financial disclosure form. And I also wanted to discuss with you the CARES Act. I don't know, Tim, perhaps you've received some inquiries from members about whether they can get CARES Act distributions. Has anyone inquired with you?
It was just one. It was a general question. I don't think they're not going to obviously move forward when, you know, once I got a conversation with you and Jeremy as well.
Okay. All right. I mean, essentially, the CARES Act allows for certain distributions to be made from in the term that's used in the CARES Act is eligible retirement plans. And this plan is an eligible retirement plan. So it allows for the plan to be amended to allow for certain type of distributions, but it doesn't require it. The question here would be that a member doesn't have access to the share funds until retirement. So if we were going to try to make distributions available under the CARES Act, we would have to first amend the plan to allow members the possibility to access their funds before reaching retirement. So it would require quite a bit of work by the board and then by the city to adopt the amendment. Apparently, I don't know, Charlie, are you aware of any member who has been impacted by COVID-19?
I'm not aware, no.
Yeah. So it's probably not worth going forward with it at this time. Would be our opinion on that. Okay. I believe that's also in your packet we had we provided for you a policy for electronic meeting. You can adopt the policy. It's really just a checklist, and probably mostly for Kate, just to make sure that our meeting notices, if we are to meet electronically again, that the meeting notices contain all the information that's required. The notices that were posted this time are in compliance with the current requirements. And then Tim had his announcement at the beginning of the meeting that advised of the electronic meeting as required. So it's not necessary to adopt that policy. But if you want to go ahead and adopt it, and Kate can use it next time, if we have if we're in August, we're not able to meet personally.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, cut and dry. I would be okay with putting it in our language just to make sure we're covered, because we never know, clearly.
Okay.
So I'll seek a motion to adopt that.
I move to adopt the policy.
I'll second it.
Okay, can we have a roll call vote?
Certainly. Board Member Schroeder?
Yes.
Board Member DeVita?
Yes.
Board Member Brezano?
Yes.
Chairman Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And that concludes our report.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any new business we need to discuss? I don't have anything.
Tim, do we need to approve the payment of the invoices?
We did? Yes, sir.
Good.
This is David Robinson. Tim, just a general question. Has there been any reported cases in Palm Coast?
We've had about 147 cases here. Nothing crazy like your neck of the woods.
Right.
We've only had, I believe it's 4 deaths in total. So we've been a very fortunate county, I will say, looking at the whole scheme of things. But I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, residents did their part and staying home or except at the grocery store. I'm not sure. I guess everyone's immune when you go to the grocery store.
So. That's right. Exactly.
but other than that, I think it's been successful. We're in the phase one of reopening, you know, the city right now, which is good. City Hall is still closed to the public, but we do have a handful of employees that come here. A lot of people are working remotely, so. Overall, I'd say the county has done well in this, you know, in comparison to other places that have not done so well.
Yes.
So your neck of the woods is going to phase one today, I believe.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But it's still pretty still crazy and a lot of uncertainty in Miami. So yeah. We'll see.
I know our daughter lives down there, and she's like, "Oh, you want to come for a barbecue?" I was like, "Well."
I don't think so. Right. Maybe later.
All right. So any old business that we need to revisit?
On a lighter note, I would like to wish Dan a happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Dan.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Dan.
glad to make it this far.
There you go. God bless you.
All right, so now we've reached the public participation portion of the meeting, so I have to read. Public participation will work as follows. Prior to calling in with your comments, if you are listening to the meeting from our website, please mute the device so that when you call in your comments, there is no interference. If you would like to participate in public comments, call 386-223-1690. You will need to hit *9 to raise your hand to provide your comments. You will be acknowledged by being unmuted, and you will hear a message that you have been unmuted. Please begin by stating your name clearly for the record. You will have 3 minutes to speak. When there is 15 seconds left to your 3 minutes, you will hear a beep. And then at the end of your 3 minutes, you will hear another beep, and you will be muted at that time. You will not be disconnected from the meeting. All callers will have the opportunity to speak. Please be aware that there may be a short pause as we switch to the next caller. So this time I call for public comment. Nothing. All right. Seeing none, we'll move on. So any items not on the agenda that anyone like to discuss today?
Doug, Tim, regarding the LoSAP program, we were shut down for a month. Do we still get, or we won't get credit for calls that we're responding to, or how does that work?
For us, everything is status quo. I mean, if you responded to calls or whatever, I think most people across the board have enough calls to carry their number for the month. You know, I know for the fire side, we have. Started to let the firefighters ride again as long as they, you know, follow the proper protocol when they get to the station, you know, temperature and all that stuff.
Right.
So it was just a very short delay, and I think everyone's numbers will be good enough to, you know, because it's an annual look. It's not, you know, I mean, yes, we look month to month. We look at a quarter, but in total for LoSAP, it's an annual. So as long as your numbers are, you'll be fine. So, okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Anyone else? Well, thank you all in venturing out to our new way here. I appreciate everyone. It was good to see everyone. Stay healthy, stay safe. I'd like to call for a motion.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. And yes, and same. I hope everyone stays healthy and safe.
Thank you, Dick.
Can I see a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you.